What does he expect us to do with one another? Love each other. That's what Jesus is doing to them. He could have said Judas and said, you don't know why I'm doing this, and you're a weasel too, and I'm mad at you, but I'm gonna wash your feet just because I'm supposed to. That's not the heart of Jesus. He would never do that to Judas. He would wash his feet because he loves him, because he wants fellowship that Judas could have, but Judas doesn't want it, and that's up to Judas, right?
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. We are looking at the heart of Jesus as our study of John continues in chapter 13, verse 17. Here's Pastor Bob.
You can't beat someone up and make them love Jesus. It doesn't work. You can't do it. And we just learned what? You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of God's people, of thy people. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Jesus quotes that. And some young lawyer type doesn't want to love everybody. So, okay, well, who's my neighbor? And Jesus took care of that very well, didn't he? The parable of the good Samaritan. A hated Samaritan loved somebody, did a kindness because that person needed it to live. And he did it. And Jesus said, there's your neighbor. Whoever is in need is your neighbor. Now, listen, love thy neighbor as thyself. And who said it? God said, I am the Lord. These are God's spoken words. Love. Now, that's got to sound familiar to you and me, right? As Christians, God's word points out that it takes. Now, I'm talking about Jesus, but I'm also mentioning Leviticus so you understand. Notice that God's love is what it's all about. Love your neighbor as yourself. How much do you love you? I'll tell you, as soon as you're cold, you say to everybody, is it cold in here? Why? Because self is cold. Hey, you guys hungry? Why? Because self is hungry. You know when you're hungry way before anybody else does. So don't worry, you love you. Am I looking a little chubby? See, you love you. I thought that was a good thing. People say it's not chubby. Well, listen. God's word points out that it takes much love and much grace. Notice, it takes much love and much grace, and Jesus has it. And now he tells us in him, we too go and do it too. It takes much love and much grace to be faithful and to have a heart to wash the feet of others. Much love, not this sickening sweet. I like you, so I'll do your feet. But those three guys over there care about their feet or their heads or not. They're ugly. Okay, well, you missed it. The heart's not there. Much love, much grace. How much love does God have? All that there is. How much grace? Oh my goodness, he is full of grace. Grace upon grace, abounding in grace. And what does he want me to be and you to be? In him, same thing. You go and do it too. So much love and much grace it takes to be faithful and have a heart to wash the feet of others. We hear this a lot, and maybe we've even said it. But as soon as we read that and see what Jesus just said, if I, your master, who you call me teacher and Lord, and I am, if you see me do it, you do just like me, and you do it the way I do it. Much love, much grace. And we hear this a whole lot. Maybe you've even said it. I've tried with that girl. with that guy, with that group, with those people. I've tried. It does no good. It's a waste of time. You've said it, maybe. Man, the nicer you are to those kinds of people, the worse they take advantage of you. I'll say it again, because Jesus said it first. It takes much love and much grace to wash our brothers and sisters and our neighbors' feet. Doesn't it? Because they may not appreciate it. Like Judas, for example. He didn't appreciate that. I don't know what he's doing. This guy's just weird. But he's ready to go betray him, right? Never brings his heart around. But the hearts of the others, they're right there. What did he just say? I've given you the example. Go for it. By the washing of the water, by the word of God. That's how we wash. We help others. So what do we see? It does no good. It's a waste of time. Listen, it takes much love and much grace. Here's a way we could say it. You've got much love and much grace. So you say, okay, well, I'm going to go out and wash somebody's feet. And I know who I'm going to pick first because that guy's a jerk. He says he's a Christian. I'll wash his feet. We'll get some feet washing going on here. Because he deserves it. He you know, well, where's the grace? Where is that love? Well, people say, we're supposed to rebuke. When Jesus rebuked, how did he do it? He looked at Peter. He rebuked Peter. Peter, you don't understand. You don't have fellowship. What did I want? You can't wash my feet. Peter, that was a rebuke. But he didn't have to spit in his eye, did he? Like we feel like we're supposed to. Listen closely. Here's a way we could say this. You have to really be careful with that love and grace. You have to really be careful of the temperature of the water before you ask somebody to stick their feet in it with you. True? What if it's scalding hot? It's just going to hurt them. It's not going to cleanse their feet. It's going to burn them. It's going to hurt them. What if it's freezing cold? If our hearts are not full of that love and that grace, like Jesus' heart is, we're going to have issues. We're going to do it wrong. We're going to say, I'm doing what the Word of God says. But are we doing what the Word of God says? Watch Jesus do it to someone who doesn't love him, to someone who won't love him, to someone who refuses to love him. He treats them exactly the same as he treats everyone else. They don't deserve it. He could have kicked him out of the room. He's going to tell him to leave in a little while because he knows that it's in his heart and there's no talking him out of it. So he goes, what you do quickly. Go ahead. If that's what you're going to do, do it. If my heart is not full of the love, that's the love of God, and that grace, like Jesus' heart is, we're going to do it wrong. And just pull out some scriptures and show why we're doing it and how we're supposed to. But Galatians chapter 6, again, reminds us, and you know these scriptures as well, verses 1 and 2. Brothers, if a man or a woman, an individual, is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of humility, meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Yet, we're ready in a heartbeat to rebuke. Not to just come along inside and say, man, I see you're struggling and I don't know why, but I struggle myself too. Why don't we pray together? Why don't we just, let's just do this. That's what he's calling us to do. That's what Jesus is doing here. And so we're going to restore one in the spirit of humility and meekness. Doesn't mean you're wrong, you're right. but there's a wrong way to do the right thing. That's amazing. So look at verse 17. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Oh my goodness. Could have been a whole Bible study just on verse 17. I won't do that to you, but since you know these things, Jesus says, now you've heard it. You've seen the example. You've seen how I treated you. You've seen what it looked like. Now apply it spiritually into your hearts. I don't want you to wash my feet. If I don't wash my feet, you can't have pure fellowship with me. Well, I want fellowship. Give me a shower. No, you're clean. Walking through this world, you get your feet dirty. You just need your feet washed with the washing of the water by the word. Since you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Well, let me say it. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Love, grace, humility, unselfishness, and serving others. I'll say it again. Now that you know these things, you want to really be happy? Blessed, oh, how happy are you if you're living like this, if you're doing this. We can talk about it for 6 weeks and have a Bible study on it and never go out and do it. Do you know that happens in a lot of Bible studies, right? You have a men's study, you have a women's study, and you're learning to do this and you're learning to do that. And then you go out and you don't do it. And you're saying, well, I've been studying it. I've been praying. You got to go do it sooner or later. You got to do it. And that's what Jesus is telling me and you and all the 11. Since you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Love, grace, humility, unselfishness, serving others. Jesus has taught us those things. Let me ask you, and I'll ask myself at the same time, and we all can in our own hearts answer it when nobody's looking. Would you stoop to wash Judas's feet, knowing what you know he's going to do? Would you stoop to do that? Knowing it's not going to change his mind, it's not going to change anything, would you do it? Knowing he's going to betray you in just a few hours. I don't know what the answer is. All I can tell you is this. Jesus did, and he said, here's your example. Now you go and do this. Would you wash Peter's feet? Peter, I like the guy. Would you wash Peter's feet knowing that in another few hours, he will deny you three separate times, even swearing to God that he's never known you or met you? Would you wash his feet? Jesus did. He gave me the example. It's a spiritual example. It's got to do with our inner hearts. It's not all about having clean feet. It's all about our walk and the washing of the water by the word. Let me put it this way. Here's what Jesus just said. True happiness comes in doing these things, not just knowing them. And that's why I do believe if we're not careful, we can be Christians and walk around looking like lemon tasters, because there is no joy. We're not happy. We're miserable. We hate this. We hate that. And try to cover it by being holier than everybody else. And God knows, we're not going to fool him. He knows that we need a Savior and he died for us. We're not holier than everybody else. We just kind of, if we're not careful, try to act like it or try to look like it or wear the right clothes. I don't know what you got to do to look holy. Whatever. But happiness comes by doing this, not knowing it. Blessed are you and me when we do these things. Knowing them isn't enough. Oh, how happy are you if you do them? I think it's a simple lesson, so simple that you can overlook it. And a lot of times people will read this and they'll get past this because they want to get to the part where he's telling Peter, you're going to deny me. And Peter's saying, no, I'm not. You know, that comes to the cool part. So we have this tendency to overlook the what we call little things and skim over them. But that was some deep things right there. He just gave me an example if I was paying attention. He gave the 11 the example if they will hear it and see it and take it in and pray about that. He says, I am not speaking about all of you. Ooh. He just said, you're all clean, but not all of you. Not all of you, your whole body. What he means is not of you 12, not all of you is clean, not at all. Jesus, I know who I have chosen. Remember, he said, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. There's nobody fooling him. Nobody. I'm not fooling him. You're not. We're not fooling Jesus. We are either his or we're not. And it's not based on our works. It's based on his grace and mercy. And you say, I don't know if I'm his. Well, then be his now. Don't even worry about it. Don't even wait another 2 minutes. Just say, Lord, I want you now. I just, save me. He said, I'm not speaking to all of you. I know whom I've chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eats bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it happens, before it comes, that when it is come to pass, you may believe I am he. He's not saying, you don't believe I am he. They do believe. He says, it will strengthen your faith. It will make your faith stronger. I'll tell you that one of you is a non-believer. Jesus knows who it is, but the disciples are absolutely shocked and stunned. There's only those 12, and they all are sure they love Jesus, and they would have spoken, well, Peter will. Peter speaks for Judas a lot of times. We love you, Lord. We're not leaving. Well, you got the words of life. We all know that. Peter thinks he's speaking for everybody. You know, you may think you're speaking for everybody, but you can only speak for you. And if you tell me that you're a Christian, I'll say, well, she is, and I am, because we said we are. And if enough of us say we are, we are. And as far as we know, that's just the way it is. But God knows, doesn't he? And that's what he's saying right here. I tell you before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that receives whomsoever I send receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. Jesus says, when I say you are clean, I don't mean all 12 of you. Jesus knew that Judas, in just a little bit of time from now, is going to run out into the night and turn Jesus over to the Pharisees, to the leaders, Jewish leadership. Jesus knows that. None of his teaching that you just read applies to Judas. Why? Because Judas doesn't want to hear it. That's up to Judas, isn't it? Nobody can do this for Judas. Nobody can do it for me or for you. It's you, your heart. So listen closely. When I say you're clean, I don't mean all of you, because he knew Judas would betray him. None of his teachings applied to Judas. They should, but Judas says, not interested, don't care. It wasn't that it couldn't have applied, right? But Judas refused it. He refused Jesus. I like the guy, he's kind of cool. Never done anything wrong to me, but he's not God, no. He rejected Jesus by his own free will, his own choice. He will never stand there at the great white throne and say, I never got a chance. Because he walked with Jesus 3.5 years, 24/7. He had a chance every hour, every moment of every day for 3.5 years and still said no. The scripture Jesus quotes is, well, it's a few places, but I'm going to use Psalm 41:9. David wrote it, and it's a prophecy about Messiah. Happened to David as well. As a matter of fact, that familiar friend that hurt David so badly went out and hanged himself. And what's Judas going to do? Go out and hang himself. David is a type of Jesus Christ. As we're studying through 1 Samuel, you see that. This scripture will be fulfilled this night. Psalm 41:9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Jesus says, it will come to pass. And I'm telling you now, so that when it does in a few hours, it'll encourage you, it'll strengthen your faith even more. The Lord knew it. Now this is important, before it happened, but the Lord didn't cause it to happen. Get it? Who takes full responsibility for that? Was the devil made me do it? Who takes full responsibility? The Lord knew it was gonna happen, but Jesus didn't make it happen. God didn't make it happen. Who did? It was Judas who made the choice. He had free will and he made his own choice. Judas is guilty of it and cannot be forgiven because he rejected Jesus Christ. It's nobody else's fault when I'm a dummy, but Judas has no one to blame but Judas. God didn't make him make that choice, but God knew he would. And Jesus told the rest of us before it happened to encourage us to strengthen our faith. Because when it does happen, that's the word of God has already said so. He's washing our feet, the water of the word. He gives them the word. Psalm. They can go back. They knew it. There was a Psalm of David, so they knew it. But they could always go back in the Old Testament and look it up. I'm telling you before it happens so that when it happens, you'll believe. They do believe, but it will strengthen that. You notice how God will do things in your life? Yes, you do. You notice it. How God will do, you think, man, I'm crazy. I'm crashing all over the place. And then God just blesses you and you knew it was him. And you go, man, I did not earn this or deserve it. And look at God. It really encourages you because he already said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be there for you. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will hold on to you. And no one's going to take you out of my hand. And then he'll do little things and you'll see you're still in his hand. And it just encourages your faith. It encourages the disciples' faith is what it did. And another major truth, although it's you'd almost say, well, it goes without saying. Well, God said it anyway. So it's another major truth as we close. The one that receives whoever I send receives me. Jesus sent Paul, and when they received Paul, he told them about Jesus, and they received Jesus. And then they told people, they got sent. And it all came down to you and me. And now we're telling others, Jesus loves them. Jesus sent us. When they listen to us, they'll receive Jesus, right? Or they'll say, no, thank you. And that's what Jesus is saying. The one that receives the one I send receives me. And he that receives me receives the one who sent me, God. You cannot have Jesus without God. You cannot have God without Jesus. So the cults say that God is God Almighty, but Jesus is not the Son of God. You reject Jesus, you've just rejected God. You can't have it both ways. That's why it's dangerous. That's what makes cults dangerous. They start to split hairs, and pretty soon you're not quite sure what's being said, but you're rejecting Jesus if you're saying that he's not God in human flesh. You're rejecting God if you say Jesus is God in human flesh. The one that receives whoever I send receives me. One that receives me receives him that sent me. Jesus represents the Lord God Almighty. We represent Jesus Christ our Lord, don't we? Wherever we go, we represent Jesus. Sometimes we're good at it. Sometimes we give Jesus a bad rap, don't we? But we're still representing him everywhere we go. And it's amazing to me, he knew all about Judas. It just amazes me. He washed Judas' feet. And I'm thinking, if I knew that, if I know, what would I do, Lord? And he smiles and he says this, you do just what I would do. I'm your Lord. I'm your master. You do what I do. Not what you feel like. Not what you think's best, you do what I do. The washing of the water by the word.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.